Throughout the Bible, we see many examples of people's faith, and because of their great faith, great things happened. The blind had been made to see, the lame were made to walk. People were even brought back to life. When Jesus met people who he recognised had faith and who did not, and as he meets with us here today, he recognised among us who has faith. I wonder, is our faith strong enough that whenever we walk out through the building doors, our faith stays strong, or does it start to go weak? Do we need to be constantly reminded of the great God that we serve and reminded about God's great power? Keith read for us in our reading this morning about the feeding. Our reading just followed on from the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 22, he read, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against them." Jesus took time out for himself and up to the mountains to pray, up into the place of prayer. The disciples sat down, the disciples were down in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in a storm, in the darkness, being tossed and buffeted about by the winds and the waves. They're in a real place of peril. What a picture this is in many ways of our own life here today on earth. Jesus has left us. Jesus has gone to sit on the seat beside the Father in heaven on the right hand. And yet we are down here in a storm-tossed sea in a place of peril. Verse 25, "During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" In our reading today, we see that Peter had a real faith, a real deep-seated faith in Jesus. But at a moment when he literally lost his concentration, he began to doubt himself, and his ability to walk on the water began to weaken, and he began to sink. Then he called out to Jesus to save him, and he was saved. I'm sure some of you have heard the story about the three ministers. I better be very careful here. Any Church of Ireland people here this morning? No. Any Baptist? No, that's all right. Right, there's a Church of Ireland minister, a Baptist minister, and of course there's a Presbyterian minister. And they're out doing a wee bit of fishing on a lake. And they decided it was near time to get something to eat. So they were a good bit offshore, and rather than rowing in, they said, "Well, I'll just walk across the water here." And the ministers, and you know what ministers are like, they're brave and strong in their faith. So the Church of Ireland man steps out to get his lunch on the side on the land, and he steps out of the boat, straight down like a stone to the bottom of the lake. So the Baptist man was a wee bit surprised that the Church of Ireland man hadn't got as much faith as that. So he steps out too, and same thing happens to him, he goes right down. So the Presbyterian man shakes his head, and he steps over out of the boat, and he walks along the top of the water onto the edge of the boat. Whenever he's walking over, he scratches his head and says, "You know, I suppose I should have told them boys where the stepping stones were." But Peter did walk on water. He walks in the water just like Jesus did. Yes, he sinks after he takes a few steps, but for a brief moment, Peter did walk on the water. Peter showed great faith at getting out of the boat and going over to Jesus. The reason he sinks is not because he was wrong to get out of the boat. Peter only sinks whenever his faith starts to waver. The greatest failure in this story is not Peter sinking, but the rest of the disciples who sat in their wee holy huddle up in the boat, still wondering if they were seeing a ghost walking on the water. Peter may have had his doubts whenever he got into the middle of the storm, but at least he demonstrated his faith. At least he was willing to ask Jesus the impossible, and he was willing to respond by faith. And whenever Jesus told him to come, he went. Well, just went for it. I believe that there's a lot of us here this morning that genuinely desire to see God do the impossible. And many of us want to be involved in that. We want Jesus to use us. The problem is, we are still in the boat. We are still in our wee holy huddles. Although the storm may be raging around us, we find it much safer to stay in our own wee crowd, to stay in the boat, rather than out there walking on the water. Maybe it's time that we, like Peter, took a step of faith and ask Jesus to allow us to do the impossible. We all need to focus on God. As Peter climbed over the side of the boat, he had his eyes fixed firmly on Jesus. There was water all around them, probably lapping and splashing up against the edge of the boat, probably soaking the men on board and splashing over their clothes and everything. But whenever Peter saw this figure, he says, "Jesus," he shouted, "I want to come to you. Can I come?" Jesus told him that he could come. Verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you in the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. You can just imagine Peter starting to get out of the boat, slowly lifts his leg out over the edge of the boat, puts his foot in the water, and didn't sink. What a real miracle. Then the second foot would also step over onto the water, and he's totally amazed, standing there and not sinking. Then, just like a little child, a wee toddler taking his first few steps, he tenderly starts to walk out towards Jesus, uncertainly, as he made his way over towards Jesus. Then as he neared him, Peter's face started to wither a bit. He turns around and looks at his friends in the boat. And just as he does that, he takes his eyes off Jesus and gradually, slowly, starts to sink down. He lost his concentration. Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Suddenly, Peter could feel the water slowly but gradually rising up his legs as he sank down into the lake. Feeling scared, he shouted out with a real sense of urgency, "Lord, save me." Probably the shortest prayer in the Bible, but it was a sincere prayer, an urgent prayer, a real meaningful prayer, a life-saving prayer. And now, it's probably one of the best parts of this whole story. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Jesus reaches out his hand to Peter and caught him. Can you just imagine that? Jesus reaching out his hand to grab Peter. Can you feel the fear just immediately draining out of Peter's body as Jesus grabs hold of Peter and Peter gives himself wholly over to Jesus, over for Jesus to look after him? You can almost feel the concentration and faith that Peter had as we listen to that account of this miracle that happened right in front of the eyes of the disciples. But what message does that walking on water have for us today? Well, I would say we'll all agree that we'd certainly find it very, very hard and difficult to walk on water. We may go through situations in every day of our lives. Many of us have faced terrifying circumstances in the past. In the year that has just passed, 2014, some people sitting here this morning, or maybe listening to the CD or even on the internet, got news that they never, ever expected to get. The bottom just fell completely out of the world. Maybe a family member has got cancer or leukemia. A family member has had a heart attack or maybe a severe stroke. Some learned maybe they'd lost their jobs. They maybe realised that they or a family member is in the early stages of Alzheimer's. Some might have ignored their children and their children are going AWOL. They're just doing whatever they want. They maybe exchange hurtful words with someone and they're trying to think how they can make that right. But the sad thing about it is it'll happen again this year. The year 2015 will not be one bit different. The important thing is, I believe, that we must do is not to concentrate on the waves of trouble that are around us. But we need to focus on the positive things. We need to focus on Jesus. If we begin to focus on the troubles that surround us each day of our lives, then we run the risk of losing sight of Jesus. And we too, like Peter, will sink into the water that we're walking on. If we reach out to the Lord, then he will take hold of our hand and he'll lift us safely. He'll hold us safely in the palm of his hand. We need to stay focused and keep our faith. We must keep our eyes on Jesus rather than our failures and our many shortfalls. Each time that Peter failed to manage to gather himself, or each time Peter failed, he always managed to pull himself together and come good in the end. Peter's faith might have been weak, yes, but it was much stronger than the rest of his friends who were sitting in the boat. Peter had a real boldness. Peter was a man who also acted on impulse. Sometimes he would open his mouth before he put his brain into gear. and he acted before sometimes counting the cost. He did it whenever he confessed his undying love for Jesus, and then whenever he was challenged by authorities, it was a different story. He denied Jesus then. But Peter was ruled by his heart. Here I believe we see a very good picture of what Jesus was really like. He was someone who was eager, someone who really loved Jesus and had a total and absolute faith and trust in Jesus. He, along with all the disciples, were in the boat out on the lake. It was being buffeted and tossed about by the winds and the rain. But suddenly, before their very eyes, they saw a figure coming towards them on the water. They just couldn't believe it. You can imagine their total surprise and fear as this sight got closer and closer to them. And then imagine their joy, their delight, whenever they realised who it was. It was Jesus coming walking towards them, the surface of the water. And yet, without a thought, Peter wanted to go out to meet him on the water. Peter was showing great signs of faith and holding out his hand here to Jesus and putting his life at risk. Peter was showing his faith by being willing to take his life or to stake his life on Jesus being Jesus. After all, how many of us would even dream of stepping out of the boat in the middle of a stormy sea, regardless, no matter who was standing there for us? Peter was courageous and was deeply trusting. Where do we fit into this story? What is our reaction whenever life becomes a boiling sea around us? Do we try to bargain with God, saying, if you'll only do this one thing for me, God, if you'll just save this person one time, just help overcome this illness this time. You've done it before. If you do, I go to church every Sunday and I'll pray every day. Do you ask God for a sign just to prove that God is there? Prove to me that you're there, God, that I can really trust you. God, I know I can believe you if you'll just do this one thing for me this one time. Well, all the disciples got safely to our shore, but only Peter walked on the water. How much we have missed in this story if we only remember that Peter sank. This is a passage of promise. If we respond to the faith of God, to the call of God, then we can do marvellous things. We, like Peter, can go out there and we can walk on the water. Some of the commentaries would tell you that if you want to walk on water, regarding the story, if you want to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat. We talk about wanting to work miracles, wanting to do great things for God. But do we really want to be taken out of our comfort zone? Do we, like Peter, really want to get out of the boat, out of the safety? We need to take that chance and step out in faith. But there stands Jesus outside the boat, making no sense to any of us by standing on the water and standing on the top of water that should be sending him down into the depths of the sea. He doesn't come to us in the way that we'd expect, maybe coming rowing across the sea in our own boat or anything. He's walking on the water. And instead of leaping into the boat with us and saying, how's it going, man? He stops outside the boat, stands on the water, and calls us to come. Jesus doesn't chastise all our disciples for staying in the boat. But later it is Peter that he says to, you are the rock on which I built my church. The church is founded on the one who had the courage and faith to get out of the boat. Peter does take an incredible risk, certainly, at getting out of the boat on a dark, stormy, windy night. But the key here is he doesn't put the first toe in until Jesus says, come. If Jesus is not anywhere near about the boat, we would be crazy to take that chance and try to walk on the water. We can't do that on our own, but whenever God appeared on the scene, new possibilities opened up for them. Whenever God appears on the scene, new possibilities open up for us, and we listen for the guidance of God. And if God says it's okay, we can know that it is okay. We're not called to be reckless, but we are called to trust. We are called to have faith. Faith means nothing at all if it doesn't mean risk. Faith and trust go hand in hand. And that means that so do faith and risk, because trust is a risky business. You can tell me that you can trust me with your money, but you know, You haven't trusted me until you actually give it to me. Maybe you'd better not trust me with it. You can say, oh, I have faith in God all you want, but until you get out of the boat, it's only as much as hot air. You need to have a real faith. You need to act upon that faith. There's nothing more important than God in our lives. We can read in the Bible and we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or we can also quote, with God all things are possible. We can share it again and again as we sit comfortably in our own comfort zone or in our own boats. Calling the ones who talk of getting out of the boat foolish and chanters. And we can look at those who do get out of the boat and we can condemn their lack of faith if they start to sink, completely unaware that as they sink to the bottom of the sea, their faith is even greater than what ours is. We have no business calling or claiming that we have any faith whatsoever until we have been willing to get out of the boat with Jesus whenever Jesus calls us. The call of God to all of us is the same now as it ever was. Go make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That commission is represented in the story we've just read, which begins with a note that the disciples, and then later Jesus with them, are heading to the other side of the lake. The other side of the Sea of Galilee is the Gentile territory, the place where mostly unsaved people would be. Every time that Jesus goes to either the other side of the lake, he is going to be with the Gentile people. The church exists to make disciples. When we as a church examine our role in making disciples, we need to consider how Jesus might be calling us, both individually and united as a church, to get out of the boat, to get out of our comfort zone. It's your job to pray and listen to God's voice. It is only when it is Jesus calling you out of the boat that you can successfully walk on the water. Otherwise, it's just another harebrained idea and we'll sink like a rock. We have a mission coming up in just over 2 months now. It seems no time from it was a year, but now it's just slightly over 2 months. I wonder, are you praying for that mission? Are you praying that God will work in the hearts and lives of individuals within this congregation and other people who come? Are you praying for the two missionaries who will be coming to preach, to teach and to challenge individuals, that God will use the power of the Holy Spirit to challenge us? Many people here maybe coming to church for years and yet they still haven't accepted Christ as their Saviour. Many people have trusted God years ago and they've sat stationed, they've sat on the fence. Are you praying that God will really open all of our eyes during this time of mission, that many individuals will come to a saving grace? At some time in our lives, we're all going to sink. At one time or another. We're all going to have times when our faith is so strong we feel that we can walk on water. We're also going to have times when our faith will be very weak, will be very small. Yet, we need to keep in our minds that wonderful scene where Jesus reaches his hand out to Peter. He doesn't let him go. He doesn't punish him for a sudden renewed bout of fear. No, he reaches out, grabs him, pulls him to himself, draws him up out of the water and leads him safely to his friends in the boat. And the waves and the winds then die down. Verse 32, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Fear here is transformed into awe. Terror is transformed into a real belief, and the disciples begin to praise the one who has saved them. When you feel that you too are sinking in the storms of life, call out to Jesus to save you. And you'll find that he will reach out to you, that he'll take hold of you and he'll walk you to safely. Maybe God is calling you to take what many Christians feel is a very scary step, to share your faith with someone else. Has God ever helped you? Has prayer ever made life a little more bearable for you? Have you ever found a real comfort in your faith? A real deep-seated contentment? I'm not here to thump people over the head with my Bible or to threaten them with a fiery furnace of hell. But I am one who solely believes that There's no better way to live life than to live it with and for God. And I pray, and I know that many people in this church prays, that those who still do not know Jesus will come to realize that Jesus is the only way, that he's the truth, and he's the life, and that no one can come to Jesus except through him. You need faith. Faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Faith to believe that he rose again the third day and sits on the right hand of God in heaven. If you have that faith, you will want to, or should want to, share it with your friends and family. And that whenever the time comes in your home or family for the bottom to fall out of your world with this bad news, your faith will be a great help and comfort in that situation. Is it really fair to keep that good news hidden within the walls of our meeting houses and hope that whoever needs to hear it would just come down and in through the door? Someone once said that a ship in a harbour is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Isn't that right? God calls us to set sail. And once we are out of the raging sea, sometimes it will calm and sometimes it will be mighty rough. But if we put our trust and faith in Christ, he'll bring us through it. Maybe not in the way that we want it or the way we would expect, but he will bring us through it. Jesus in the water, and he bids us to come. But the church was built on Peter, who had that faith, not the others. Can you hear the voice of Jesus saying, come? If you want to walk in the water, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get out of the boat and take that step. The well-known preacher and writer, Reverend James MacDonald, said that there are preachers that will tell you that if you have faith, Jesus won't steer you into the storms. He goes on to say, that's not right. Sometimes you'll see the waterfall ahead and you'll think to yourself, surely Jesus is not going to let me go over that waterfall. But man, he's taking me mighty, mighty close to it. The next thing you know, you're going down the waterfall at the same speed as the water, rushing down towards a pool of water at the bottom. And you're thinking, Jesus, what are you doing taking me over this waterfall? You have to hold your breath for a long time, he says. But then after what seems like eternity, you pop up from the water, gasping for breath, and you appreciate the fresh air so much more than you ever have. And you realise you made it through it. That's what it's like sometimes when Jesus is steering our boat, he says. Even when he doesn't calm the storm, he can manoeuvre within the storm so much better than we can. We need to have that faith. Today, some of you are sitting here realising that you need to give up control of your boat. You're already a Christian. You have Jesus in the boat, but you're the captain, and you consider him your second mate, that he's your co-pilot. You like giving the orders to Jesus and everyone around you. You need to start following orders, and you need to do it by saying, yes, Jesus, whatever you want me to do. Some of you need to start, first of all, by letting Jesus into your boat. He's saying, it is I. Do not be afraid. It might not immediately calm the storm. Satan can stir up the waters even more so than your ship will be tossed about more and more whenever you do that. But let Jesus on board and let him take the wheel of your ship. Let him take control of your life. He can get you safely past many of those obstacles in your life, safely through those raging, turbulent seas that are going to approach your life, or maybe has approached your life. You'll never walk in the water until you've the courage and faith to get out of the boat. Just because you take that step, it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. And when you find yourself sinking in the stormy seas of the world, you need to call out to Jesus. And he will save you. He will help you with an outstretched hand. He'll take a good, firm grasp of you. He's there to hold on. He's there to challenge you. And the end of your life, he's there to raise you from the dead and lead you on yet another journey. I trust and pray that you will indeed take that step of faith, if you really haven't, and ask Jesus to be with you on your life's journey. Not to stay in your boat, not to stay in your own comfort zone, to step out and out of the water and try to walk in the water. Amen. Let us pray.